Welcome back to the Hughes Office Equipment Intermission Report, and we have a very special guest today on the Unified Bank Profile segment. It is the Pittsburgh Penguins team psychologist, Kevin Wildenhouse. And Kevin, really cool to see you here in Toledo to be able to have a chance to talk with the Nailers players. What does your role encompass as the psychologist for an NHL club?
Yeah, great to be here, and thanks for the invitation. I started working with the Penguins about 4 years ago. I worked with the NHL club, and my primary job at that time was to evaluate players for the draft. So we do psychological testing, we do questionnaires, I go to Buffalo to the combine, and with the scouting staff, do interviews, and then I write reports just like the scouting department does. And those are tend to be more character reports, you know, leadership, motivation, personality, learning style, those sorts of things. And then the last couple of years, my role has started to evolve more into the sports psychology side, working not only with the Nailers, but Wilkes and the NHL club to talk with players, work with players, come in and do presentations on mental health, mental skills, mental performance, sports psychology. And that's what I love to do, as you could tell, hopefully, from today's talk.
You mentioned 4 years. Is that really when you started to see the psychology role start to take a more influenced role in the professional sports world? Was it a little bit earlier than that? Because obviously it's evolved, and you're seeing so many positions that have gone. Now you have team nutritionists to go along with the strength and conditioning. Everything is so specialized now.
Yeah, great question. It is clearly moving in that direction. You see that actually in the college levels, because now all the universities have sports psychologists, mental coaches. Mental health is obviously a big issue. Those tend to coincide or overlap. And so you're seeing a big influx of that in pro sports and college and amateur sports. But I've actually been doing a similar role for about 20 years with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And most of my role with them has been on the draft side, but it's evolving like it is with the Penguins. And about 4 years ago, the Penguins and Steelers connected to say, hey, let's compare notes on what we do. And that was my introduction to the Penguins organization. And they've really embraced the mental performance side. Coach Sullivan is huge on this. He says that it's the next frontier, and I believe him. And you're absolutely right. What we need to do is to get to the point where a mental performance coach is seen in the same light as a nutritionist or a strength and conditioning coach, because it's all part of the holistic nature of the sport, and it's critically important. Often the difference between guys who are good and guys who are great tends to be between the ears, the mental side of the game.
It's amazing how much people watch and they depend on talent to win games, but that's not always the scenario. And you'll hear a lot of the coaches talk about just what percentage of the game is mental. If you're watching a game, are there certain things that you can pick up? Like, can you notice a body language right away and be like, you know what, that guy doesn't really seem like he's in tune with the game, that could ultimately affect things more than somebody's normal eye could detect?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that I try to do, obviously, is to evaluate personality and character. But when I watch a game, I watch it not so much like a hockey coach would or a fan. I try to watch for other things. How do guys respond to adversity? If a goalie gives up a goal, what's his routine to kind of get himself refocused? Does he play more tentatively after that, or do you see him kind of, buck up a little bit and get more intense? When a guy is struggling in a game, how do his teammates come around him? I was at a national program game a week or so ago, and I noticed one of the players on the national team who wasn't one of the best players, but the goalie gave up a goal, and he was the only guy that came over to talk to the goalie during a break and give him a little bit of a pat on the back and a pep talk. And then a little bit later, he actually checked on a guy that was injured. And I started to say, you know, you see these things and you say, this is part of being a leader. This is part of being a guy who has an awareness and emotional intelligence on the ice. And you pay attention to those sorts of things because it goes into the equation.
How challenging is it to keep athletes level, where I'm sure everybody wants to go way up with the highs, but also have that trap where they could go extremely low with the lows?
Yeah, sport is really dangerous in that way because, you know, the highs are really high and the lows are really low, and it's what have you done for me lately? What you find are the guys who tend to be able to learn to be even keeled, the guys who are able to take adversity in stride, profit from it rather than get frustrated by it, are the guys that continue to excel and improve. So learning to control your emotions, learning that adversity is the only way to get better, the only way to learn, there's either success or there's learning. And when they adopt that attitude, you start to see the careers take off.
One of the things that made me smile today that you said in the meeting with the players, because I'd heard this when I worked in baseball over a decade ago, was that failure. Too many people are afraid of it, and you almost have to embrace it because it will help make you better. And I know people don't want to hear that because they want to see the team go 72-0 every year, but why is it important to fail?
Well, it's the only way to learn. And one of the reasons, for example, that the really best athletes sometimes don't make great coaches is that they haven't actually gone through that experience because they just have a super talent. And they grow and they deal with different frustrations and different adversities than the typical person does, and they often have a tough time conveying what that's like. The grinders, the people that, as Tiger Woods calls it, ham and egging it around the course. When you have your B game in whatever sport you're playing, learning to stay within yourself and continue to persevere to be successful is really the key. So I talked today about the notion of learning from failure without feeling the emotion. You know, one example is, can you go back and watch a film where you made mistakes on the ice and not let it affect you emotionally? Your face doesn't flush, you don't get angry, that voice in your head doesn't criticize you, but instead you just watch it almost like Dr. Spock would, and you observe and you learn, and then you visualize and use mental imagery to replay that particular play in your mind to correct the mistake. And when you can start getting to the point that you can have kind of this very mature approach to adversity and challenge, that's when people start to profit from the experience and they get better and better.
One of the other things that you really keyed on in your speech to the team today was having a roadmap. And I feel like that's especially important here at the ECHL level, where maybe it's not a number one overall draft pick in the NHL who pretty much has a plan in place that he's going to be a superstar at that level. But for these players, they know that they want to get to the NHL, but that direction to get there is probably quite fuzzy.
Yeah, and in fairness to young guys, we don't do a good job of teaching them how to set goals. We don't do a good job of how to develop a roadmap. We, you know, when I asked the question today, I think you could see from the room that a lot of guys got bright-eyed. They're like, I don't have a good solid plan, but I need one. And I've already had players come to me and say, can you help me work on that? Can you help me develop that roadmap? And I think that's critical, not just in sport, but in any area of life. If you understand the four questions I mentioned earlier. Where do I want to get to? What's my goal? Where am I today? What is my plan for how I'm going to get there? And then periodically on the journey, you have to stop and say, how am I doing? Am I on track? Am I off track? What happened? What didn't I expect that's occurring now? Did I go through a detour? It's like having a GPS. And, you know, our phones today tell us exactly where we need to go, and we can actually get kind of lazy and just assume that if I just work hard, I'll get where I have to be. Doesn't work that way. You need a roadmap. And, you know, that's one of the things I love working with young guys about, is to help them develop that plan.
What's the most rewarding thing for you when you work with these athletes and you start with them at one point? What's something that you look at and say, wow, you know what? You did this. You were able to get to this point.
Yeah, you know, just the process of people being open to what I'm trying to do to help and to feel like I'm making a difference is my reward. It is tempting to base my worth on whether the guy scores a goal or the goalie pitches a shutout or what happens on the ice, but I try to stay away from the results because I think the key to life is not to focus on results, it's to focus on process. And if I just keep working the process with guys, the real gratifying thing is not only to see them grow as players and their performance improves, but more importantly, to grow as men. You know, these guys are in their 20s. They got a life ahead of them. I'm trying to help them be better people beyond just being a better hockey player. And when I see them profit from the work that we're doing together, and I know that they're better people because of it, the results will take care of themselves.
That's fantastic. Kevin, I can't thank you enough for spending a few minutes with me and to be able to share your story and what you do as a psychologist for the Pittsburgh Penguins to our fans and to be able to have such a meaningful conversation with our players here in Toledo.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Kevin Wildenhaus, the psychologist for the Pittsburgh Penguins, is our Unified Bank profile during today's Hughes Office Equipment Intermission Report. More coming up after this on the Nailers Broadcast Network presented by Main Street Bank.